Well, on behalf of our family, we want to say thank you for allowing us to have a little time off last week. It's always good to get away, and it's always good to get back. We had the privilege last Sunday of worshiping with Trinity Church in Edwards, Colorado. It's a little Baptist, it's a pretty good-sized Baptist church, and had a real good time. You know, when you're at 8,000 feet, it's hard to sing and breathe at the same time. I don't know how those guys preach in that altitude. I'll be honest with you. It's like, praise God, praise God. It's rough. But it was a good time. Thank you so much for allowing us to be away and to spend a few time days apart as a family. We got to do a little hiking. Matthew and I got to do a little camping. And I got to do a little ice scraping off the windshield this week, which was lots of fun in July. Well, today we open a short series entitled Meet the Holy Spirit. And our intent here is to do one of two things, either to remind you of the amazing presence that God has in our lives because you're in Christ, or to expose you to the reality that if you're really in Christ, you have within you the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's a scary word sometimes in Baptist churches. We say, Holy Spirit, stop, don't talk about that. I remember growing up in a First Baptist church here in Texas, and when someone would say Holy Spirit, it was almost like everyone held their breath. Don't talk about that. That makes you like a Pentecostal or a charismatic or something crazy. Some of you have that feeling when you hear the word Holy Spirit still? We kind of go, I don't know. We have that fear of maybe in paranoia of the third person of the Trinity. Maybe it's concerned with those associations that we mentioned, but maybe it's just this. Maybe it's ignorance. I don't know. I don't mean ignorance in the worst sense, but in the best sense. Because a person to really walk in the fear and admonition of the Lord, here's what has to be happening in your life. The Holy Spirit has to be evident. The Holy Spirit is the one who's leading, the one who's guiding, who's connecting you, as we're going to talk about today. See, when a person hears the voice of God for the very first time to follow, do you know whose voice you're hearing in that moment? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who calls you into a relationship with God the Father through Christ the Son. He's the one who then, after you accept that call, comes to dwell within you, to empower you to live the life that he has for you in Christ. So kind of with this background set up, let's dive into our first big area. Now, most of you know, if you've been around First Baptist since I've been here, I love to take a scripture verse and kind of tear it apart. Today, we're going to do a little something different. Probably in this series, we're going to do some things different. We're going to jump into some different verses to kind of pick up the idea of who the Holy Spirit is, what his role is, his job in our lives. And the first thing I want you to see this morning is this. He is our connection. He's what connects us in a number of ways. And what I want you to see this morning is the vital role that the Spirit of God plays in the lives of those who answer the call of God to follow him. In fact, in many ways, without the Holy Spirit, this whole Christian life thing is impossible. Because what you're left with is you trying to figure out how to please God on your own. You just can't do that on your own. You need God to come in and inform you and to connect you and to empower you and enable you to do the things that he wants you to do. You're going, well, that's kind of a pessimistic view of human life. I got to tell you, with the reality that we are all born in sin and mature in sin and expose ourselves again and again and again to sin, we need some power. We need someone to come in and change us. And that's what I want you to see this morning. So I want us to look at three different passages. We're going to start in Romans 8, where the scriptures say this in verse 13, 4. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. What I want you to see first this morning is that the Spirit of God adopts you, wants to adopt you into the body of Christ. Now, Paul is writing to a group of people at Rome that he's not yet met. He writes to them as a man who believes he's going to be there one day. He believes he'll be there on a ministry trip at one point. He doesn't know he's going to be a prisoner to get there. But he's writing to them about a lot of different things about the relationship with God. And if you read Romans in its entirety, it's pretty, I'm going to use the word theoretical. It's kind of big picture stuff, big ideas, big thoughts, big theology. And he's writing this letter to say, hey, I haven't met you yet, but this is what Christian life is all about. This is who we are. And he would end up spending some time there in Rome under house arrest. But as he writes this letter, he's writing to people he has never met yet. So what he does is he develops these theological themes, kind of like a foundation of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so he understands this, there's a big difference in life between living in the flesh and living in the spirit. In fact, the first big idea here that I want you to see is that there really are only two ways to live, either according to the flesh, the ways of the world, or according to the spirit, the ways of God. There is no in between. That's what he's telling these people at Rome. He says, you're either living in the flesh or you're living in the spirit. There's only two ways to live. And if a person chooses to say this, I'm going to stay in the flesh, which is the way we're all born, by the way, the outcome of that life is going to be eternal separation from God in a place called hell and an eternal death. This is the nature of people. This is where we begin. But if a person will hear the voice of the Spirit, if they'll listen to the Spirit of God speaking and respond and follow, here's what happens. The life is now different, and the outcomes of life look different than they do for the other person. And this is not because they're so much smarter, but because they're listening to the voice of God. So the description is this: be a person who's a son of God, a child of God, a follower of God. And then Paul tells him this, to come to the place where I want you to focus. This is what I want you to see. He reveals that a person, listen, who is not following God over here is a person who is lost. But if a person who is over here listening to the Spirit of God, it's not because you're so smart, or you're so intelligent, or you're so witty, or you're so charming, or you're so talented. It's because God has adopted you by the Holy Spirit. I want you to catch this. There is no person born alive, no person in this room, no person listening on the radio that could say this: I've always been a child of God. I've always been a child of God. I just grew up and I've always been a child of God. I've got to tell you, that is not a biblical concept. Because what has to happen at some point in life is the Holy Spirit comes to you and knocks on your heart of your door and says, I want you to follow me. I want to come and live within you. I want to indwell you. I want to be a part of you. And you have to answer, yes or no. By the way, a maybe is a no. A later is a no. The Spirit of God wants to adopt. People who say, well, I've been born without sin and I'm always in a rut. You have not. The big idea he's telling them is this: if there comes a place where you have to say yes to God, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, calling you, let me use an old fashioned word, wooing you to become part of the body of Christ. This notion of adoption, by the way, isn't an Old Testament thought that Paul pulls to share with the people at Rome. Instead, what he does is he takes a secular thought. Now, you'll love this for those of us who try to separate church and state all the time. He takes a secular thought of adoption from Roman and Greek culture and says, this is what really happens when you come into a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. He says, it's kind of like being adopted. It is like being adopted. In the Greek world, you would adopt a kid, okay? Kid comes into your family. He has no connection anymore with the old family. You like that? There's no relationship anymore. And the rights of being a natural born child is yours in the new family. That's what happens when you hear the Holy Spirit of God and say, yes, I'll follow. He takes you from that into this. And that's my point I want you to catch in point number one. There are no natural born Christians. None. No natural born Christians. There's not one. I want you to understand, this is probably the most important truth of all time, of all your life. You are not born a Christian. It doesn't work that way. Rather, you are reborn into Christ. There has to come a place, a time, a moment, a season where you transition from being lost to being saved, where you move from being outside of the kingdom to being inside of the kingdom, where you move from the Spirit of God being outside of you to being inside of you. Oh, I want you to hear. I could probably stay on this point all morning. We won't. But I want you to understand, Jesus is telling people you have to be born again. You remember the story of Nicodemus in the New Testament Jesus told? He told Nicodemus, he said, hey, buddy, you're going to have to be reborn. You're going to have to be born again. And Nicodemus' thought was, you mean I got to go back in the womb and come out again? It's almost humorous, ladies. Can you imagine? Oh, no, I don't want to do that one again. No, thank you. It's coming, baby. Okay. And you'll understand, once, no more. Not going back. But he goes, I got to go back in. No, and Jesus says, no, you've got to be born again in the Spirit of God. That's what we've got to have. Maybe that's why our churches in America are so stinking weak. It's because we got a lot of folks who attend church but never met the Spirit of God. Listen, guys, if we're going to be the people that God wants us to be, we have to have this birth of the Spirit and of the water. We've got to be born naturally and spiritually. I want you to listen very carefully to this. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings you to new life when you surrender. And if you're holding to the notion that you've always been a Christian, you're mistaken. I want you to hear this. I love you. I don't want you to be separated from God for eternity. You've got to have the Spirit. You've got to answer his call. Because unless a person is born again by the Spirit, you will never see the kingdom of God. And it's available. Adoption is available today. Praise God. So he adopts. Let's come on down. He also affirms. Turn over to John chapter 14. This passage contains our memory verse for the series, by the way. He has a job after adoption. Yes, he has several jobs after adoption. But the first one is this. He affirms the words of Jesus. Look at verse 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, notice what he does. He will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Now, listen, I got to stop. This is like a commercial in the middle of the sermon. If you've never received the Holy Spirit of God, you've never heard his voice, you've never responded to his voice, you've never surrendered to God, you've never been, as point one says, adopted into the family. From this point forward in the sermon, it won't make any sense at all to you. Is that clear? You may understand the words, you may understand the concepts, but spiritually, you're not going to grasp this until you let him adopt you. Because the work of the Holy Spirit for a lost person, a person without Christ, is singular. He's wooing you. He's calling you. He wants you in the kingdom of God. But the rest of the stuff we're going to talk about today doesn't happen until you surrender. Until you say yes, this stuff is going to kind of go, oh, great, I don't get it. That's the way it's supposed to be, okay? But look at it this way. If you haven't accepted Christ yet, this is the promise he has for you. If you'll surrender, okay? Here's what he does. He wants to affirm the words of Jesus in your life. Now, you know, Jesus was born, lived, died, rose from the dead, and then he ascended to the Father. He left us, though, his Spirit to affirm and to remind us of what's going on. Please understand, this is where he's working. For a person without Christ, this doesn't make sense. For those who are in Christ, though, part of what the Holy Spirit does in your life is to affirm the words of Jesus. Just as Jesus was dependent on God the Father, so is the Spirit dependent on Jesus in the idea of the Trinity. There's a working relationship here. So in the text here at hand in John 14, John was telling his disciples, those who follow him. He's talking to followers. I've taught you all this stuff. We spent together 3 years. You've seen ministry. You've seen amazing things. You've seen God work. You've seen the works of the Son. But when I'm gone, Jesus tells them, when I'm gone, the Helper's going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And he's going to come in my name. You see the relationship here? You know, the word Trinity is never in the Bible, but the concept is so clear again and again and again, that relationship between these the parts of God. And so Jesus returns to the Father, the Spirit's gonna come, and he's gonna be there to affirm their lives. So here's what happens, is this. The Holy Spirit would work in their lives of believers, reminding them of the teaching of Jesus and to affirm them so they can follow his words. Essentially what happens is this. The Spirit does this. He teaches them how to live, and he teaches them what they need to do. He's saying the Spirit is going to function in the life of a believer as this supernatural conscience that leads you as an individual who's surrendered to God, who's been adopted into the family, to do the things that God has for you. But at the same time, the Spirit never does something that says this. Well, Jesus said to love your neighbor, but I'm going to tell you, you can hate so-and-so. That's not the Spirit. The Spirit always affirms the teaching of Christ. So we'll get to application in a second on that one, but I want you to catch the idea. He never works against what God through the Son says. His words, the impressions the Spirit leads will always line up with the words of Jesus. And that's what I want you to see. The Holy Spirit always affirms Jesus' words. We've already kind of got into it a little bit this morning. Remember, this thought is directed at who? The adopted, to use our thoughts this morning. It's adopted. If you've been adopted in the kingdom of God, this is for you. If you're not yet adopted in the kingdom of God, this is a promise that once you surrender, you'll get this, okay? So there's a line here between, you're going, well, I think it's not fair. I think everyone should have this. Well, that's not the way it works. The Holy Spirit only indwells those who have surrendered. And he woos those who have not. So the thought here is directed at the adopted. Once you've answered the call of God to follow, one of the tasks of the Spirit is this. He wants to keep you in step with the words of Jesus and the ways of Jesus. And one of the descriptions of those who follow Jesus is being a person who's a hearer that results in being a doer, because you're aligning yourself with the words of Jesus. Let me put it another way. It's a call to be a servant of God, not the boss of God. In the next point, we're going to talk about aligning with the ways of God, but here I want you to see aligning with the words of God. The big idea is of a person who's learning, listen, to come in tune with God. And instead of approaching life that says this, well, here's what I think, and here's what I believe, and here's what I'd like to see happen, and here's what I want to do. And instead you say, I believe the Holy Spirit is leading here. You're going, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? He will always affirm the words of Jesus. And it may be different for you than for you than for me. But it will never be contradictory to his word. Does that make sense? See, we sometimes go, well, they're not doing what I do, so they must be wrong. Wow, when did you become God? God will speak to you, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and affirm the words of Jesus in your life to live a particular way, to do particular things. And so when you're faced with a decision, you don't go, well, here's what I believe we ought to do. You stop and you say, God, show me. I wonder in my own life, and maybe in your life as well, if we did that a little more often, what would our lives look like? Come on down to point three. So he adopts into the body. He affirms the words of Jesus. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll stay there the rest of the morning. 1 Corinthians 2:6 says this, yet among the mature, Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart, verse 7, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, Jesus. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who what? Who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except by the Spirit of God. And what he does, he advises us in godly ways. Now we really get feet to the road, if you will, or rubber on the road. We turn here in 1 Corinthians, we find Paul writing again. But he's not writing to a church he's never met. He's writing to a church he visited, and he's writing to a church that's really struggling with a lot of things. And the biggest thing they're struggling with is trying to figure out how to live out a Christian life in a very secular culture. Maybe we need to spend some time in 1 Corinthians. I don't know. But he brings into a discussion in chapter 2 that says this. Where is the Spirit at work? What's he doing? What's he leading? Where is he going? Remember, let me remind you, this text is not directed to those of you who have not been adopted. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who are in Christ, and Christ is in them. The Spirit of God is in them. He's talking to believers. He's saying, where are you at? What's going on? This is the job of the Spirit, is to advise and to lead. Now notice the big idea of the text is this, is the Spirit has a task of bringing advice to the life of a follower of Jesus and how to live. Now the previous point was a little more theoretical. This one really gets practical. What he wants the believers at Corinth to grasp is the one who's going to lead them to live a godly life in their culture is none other than the one who saved them in the first place. In fact, he uses an analogy of these secret thoughts of a person, and he leads the reader to understand that nobody can understand the secret thoughts of God except the Spirit reveals it. So catch the big idea. You ready? We've already used this word once, but I want you to hear it again. The Holy Spirit calls, woos a person to surrender. This results in the Spirit being placed in their life where he continues to point them back to Jesus. Say, look to Jesus, look to Jesus, look to his words, look to where he is. And then he says, here's what's coming next. See the linear process we're walking through. It's relationship, then he's speaking to us, and now he's saying, here's where we're gonna go. See, God has a specific plan and purpose for every follower of Christ beyond the general truths of God's word. God had a plan for everyone at Corinth. Do you know that? He said, if you're in the body of Christ at Corinth, you know, Corinth is in Greece, and if there's a church in Greece still today, I'm sure there is, each one in that church has a specific purpose, a specific duty, if you will, responsibility, role to play. And the direction of God for them was not going to be contradictory to the revealed words of Jesus, of the overall working of Jesus, but there would be a specificity to it. In other words, follow with me. He's saying to you, Corinth, you're getting it tough. You're living in a hard place. There's a lot of secular people. There's a lot of crazy things going on in your culture, a lot of goofy stuff in the world around you, but I got something for you. Not for you, for you. For you, particularly you. I like that, do you? I love lists. I love tasks. I got the last 2 days, we got home from vacation. I had a list in my head a mile long of things I had to do before I could go to bed last night. Any of you like that? You go, I gotta get this done. This is the list. But God has a purpose for you, a plan for you, and you're going, I don't know what it is. One of the analogies Paul used was this idea of the body of Christ being like a human body, that we're not all the same part, but we all have a part to play, and we have a responsibility to play. And that's what I want you to catch this morning. The Holy Spirit will lead followers to their calling. God has a calling. Let's get real specific. You ready? Say it with me. God has a calling for me. Let's try that again. God has a calling for me. Some of you are going, well, I'm not in the ministry. I'm not called. My job's just to show up. Wrong. You have a job in the kingdom. Well, I don't get to stand up front and talk. Thank God. I wish mine was something else. Can I tell you that? I don't get to get up and sing a solo. That's all right. I don't get to teach a Sunday school class. Anybody excited? You got any takers? Get a new list for Rick when he gets back? No? What I want you to hear is this. Every one of you has a holy calling from God to serve in the kingdom of God. I don't know what that is. This may be a shock to some of you. God has a calling for you. You could focus on the aspects applicable to all of us as believers. You know, we need to spend time in the Word. We need to pray. We need to spend time serving Jesus. We need to do these universal things. But I want you to grasp beyond all that. That stuff's supposed to happen. God has something just for you in the kingdom of God. Something for you. What is it? Well, I don't know. See, God never calls you to follow him in salvation and then does not have a specific task for you to follow in the kingdom of God as well. And what that means is this: God saves you from sin, but he also saves you to a place of service. If he didn't, he'd just take you home immediately. You know, I think I'm convinced. I'm almost convinced, about 99% convinced, that the reason many people who are really are followers of Christ are just kind of miserable is because they accepted Christ and they haven't done anything since. Maybe that's pastor's fault for not helping you discover that. Okay. Maybe it's your fault for not looking. Maybe it's our fault because we're afraid we're going to fail. Well, if I try that, that's going to be a mess. Can I tell you something? My first sermon was 12 minutes long. You know, we're not going back to those days. It was 12 minutes long. I still got it on a cassette tape. It wasn't on a reel-to-reel. It was on a cassette. And it was awful. Can I tell you that? Awful. You're probably thinking, well, that hadn't changed. No. It was awful, okay? I didn't have a clue what I was talking about. That hadn't changed either. Okay, I got it. But what I want you to understand is it's a whole lot easier to do it now than it was 30 years ago. Why? Because God continues to affirm in my life that I had that calling in my life. Now, you may not like my calling. I'm okay with that. But that's the calling God has for me. What's your calling? What's your role? What's your task? What's your place? The Holy Spirit has a task for you in the kingdom. What is it? Well, if I get up and do it and I fail, then everybody's going to make fun of me. You know, can I tell you something? I want to give you permission this morning to fail in the kingdom of God. You ready? You have permission to fail as long as you're trying. Is that fair? And we're going to love you when you fail. Can we tell you that? We're going to wrap our arms around and say, boy, sister, this is not for you. But we're glad you tried. Thank you. Thank you. Let's try something else. God has something for you. I want you to catch that. He leads us in godly ways. One more last thing and we finish. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. We're going to stop right there. Finally, this morning, we consider another aspect of the place of the Holy Spirit in the life of those who are following Jesus. This is for Christian, okay? He activates you to live. And you're going, well, we just talked about the role he has. Oh, I want you to hear the power that you have. The Holy Spirit of God would never call you into a relationship with God. He would never affirm the words of Jesus. He would never give you a task and also not give you the power. That would be unfair. Well, I'll do it myself. Good luck. You'll mess that up. We've seen this progression. Notice the progression. There's supposed to be a significant difference between a person indwelt with the Holy Spirit and one who's not. A person who's answered the call of God and following God results in the continual presence of God will be empowered then to accomplish what he has. What Paul is telling these young believers at Corinth is they don't have to rely on their power. They rely on God's power. I got to tell you, that is so freeing. It is so freeing to know that I don't have to do it alone. I got to tell you, I think I would just be a complete basket case if I had to get up on Monday morning and think about what I was going to talk to y'all on Sunday morning without the Holy Spirit. I would. I'd go, I'm not that smart. Thank you for not amening that. See, the Holy Spirit is, and this is what I want you to see as we wrap up, He is our constant companion. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. What I want you to see is if you're really a follower of God, you've really surrendered the call of God to be in Christ, the Holy Spirit, listen, is always with you. Always. Always. There's never one moment that the Spirit leaves you. So the question is you have to answer is not, is the Spirit with you? Because He is. If you're a child of God, He's with you. Do you believe that? He's with you. The question you have to answer is this: how am I living according to the Spirit of God in this moment? Am I honoring God with what I'm doing? In the New Testament, the big idea of this constant presence of the Spirit, so don't worry about it, He's there. The big thought here is what He does, is what does your life look like because the Spirit is present, active, and living in you. My fear is this: too many Christ followers do this. You grieve the Holy Spirit because you do this. You hear Him speak. He says, I want you to do this, and you go, I ain't gonna do that. Can't make me? No way. If it's the Spirit of God and you say no, you have grieved the Holy Spirit and you've placed a block in your life between you and Him. And until you resolve that block, you're stuck. And some of us will do this. He says, well, I want you to be a part of this. And you sense that Spirit saying this, and the more you listen to His voice, the easier it is to hear His voice. But you hear Him say it and you go, all right, nope, you can't make me. Maybe it's the culture we live in. Corinth has got a lot of cultural connections to where we live today, guys, but this idea that we're free, we can do what we want, we're independent, we can do what we want. I got to tell you, when you surrendered your life to the voice of the Holy Spirit to follow Christ, to be part of the kingdom of God, you gave up your rights. You go, I've never heard that in church. Well, listen, I bet you have. You just didn't hear it. I am a child of God first, an American second. And I tear up when the national anthem plays and the flag waves and all that stuff. But listen, God has to come first. So what's keeping you from being all the Spirit wants you to be? Can you remember a time when you heard the Spirit of God, when you responded to the Spirit of God, and you have a living, breathing relationship with Jesus because of the Spirit of God? Or have you chosen to reject Him? As we go into a time of invitation, I want you to hear this and ask yourself this question: what do you need to do to get in line with the Spirit? Are you over here? You've never met Him. You've heard about Him. You've sung songs about Him. But you've never met Him. Is He calling to you? Is He wooing you? Asking you to surrender to Him now. Is that the first step? Or if you've passed that step, what's He asking you next? Where's the place of ministry? What's the place of service? Why are you afraid of Him leading and having the power in your life? That's what He wants to do. I want you to understand, by connecting you to God, the Spirit does this. He plays a role in your life, a vital role, all the way through the balance of your days, causing you to be the person He wants you to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the vital role that You play in the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Father, I pray that Your Spirit would be free to move in our lives this morning. That, Father, we wouldn't just stand in a moment and sing a song, because that's what we do. But we would respond to You because that's what we do. Father, I pray for those who need to make some type of decision this morning, some to follow you for the very first time, some to surrender again and let you lead them with their lives, and some to just trust you with being the power source to do that you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. You respond as God leads you this morning. We'll wait for you.